insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, welcome to another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to have a better understanding of more of his verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْحَقِّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ
We'd arrived at verse 109, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about another issue regarding Ahlul Kitab. Now, up to this point, the verses have been talking about Bani Israel and the Jews. From here on, apparently, and also in a previous verse, the word Ahlul Kitab is used. And apparently, it means more than just the Jews. And in a following verse, one of the following verses, we will actually be discussing, and the verse does discuss the issue of the Christians as well. The point mentioned in this verse, there's many interesting points. The verse, let's first read and translate it, so then we can get into some of those points and expand on them and see what understanding we can get from this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. Many of the people of the book are eager to turn you into unbelievers after your faith. حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدَ أَنفُسِهِمْ, out of their inner envy. مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ, after the truth had become manifest to them. فَعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, yet excuse and forbear until Allah issues his edict. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, indeed Allah has power over all things. The first point that the verse is mentioning is that many of the people of the book are eager to turn you into disbelievers or unbelievers after you have become believers and after you have become faithful to this religion. This point itself is something very important for us to keep in mind, especially for us or for those who live in and amongst non-Muslims, and especially those who are Ahlul Kitab, people that are Christians or Jews or Zoroastrians or Sabians, which these are all different groups of the Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. It says many of them are eager to turn you into disbelievers or unbelievers. The verse is obviously, or the reason why the verse is mentioned, is because at that point, some of the Jews or the Christians around that region started to do this. They started to do things to cause these people to become disbelievers. And apparently, comparing the previous verse, it may be that one of the reasons why some of the Muslims would start to come and ask questions or want things from the Prophet that were similar to those that the Jewish people asked from their Prophet, Prophet Moses, maybe one of the reasons behind that was also the Jews telling them, why don't you go and ask your Prophet for this, and causing doubts in their minds. So what the Jews were doing was that they didn't only not believe in the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't want the Muslims that are around the Prophet and that are believing in him to be there and to believe in him. They wanted to take their faith away from them. This verse was revealed to the Prophet when they started doing that, and the verse tells us that that was happening at that point in time. But I need to reiterate the point that was mentioned on different occasions in these sessions, that these verses are not telling us history. They don't want to tell us history of what happened in the past. We do understand through them what was happening at that time, but also what is being said in these verses is universal. It is something that applies to humanity from that time onwards. If it was something that only applied to particular individuals that lived in Medina 1400 years ago, there was no point in mentioning that in the Holy Quran that is supposed to be the book of guidance for all humanity. Mentioning those and then not mentioning the details of some of the ahkam does not make sense. One of the reasons why the details of the ahkam have not been mentioned in the Holy Quran is that it will become too lengthy. Those details require a lot of precision. They need to be explained in different wordings on numerous accounts for the people to actually fully understand that law. There's a lot of details to each and every law. There's about 20 volumes of ahadith and the statements of the Ahlul Bayt that have been mentioned and have been gathered that tell us about these laws. And the laws are not the only aspect of Islam. We have beliefs, we have akhlaq, we have ethics, and all these other aspects of the religion as well. All of that was not put in the Quran because it would become too lengthy. Now, that which is very important is not going to be mentioned, but some historical point that has nothing to do with people that come after that very small and short period of time would be put in the Holy Quran. That is not logical. The reason why these verses are put there is because there's benefit for them, for people to come. And if you see, it says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Many of the people of the book are eager. It's a universal statement. People of the book have this. A lot of them have this in them. It's not a very small number of them. It's not like rarely you can find an Ahlul Kitab that's like that. No. You can find many of the Ahlul Kitab that have this characteristics. They don't want you to be Muslim. All right. They'll do things to make you doubt your religion, to make you want to leave your religion. This we have got to keep in our minds, brothers and sisters, especially if we're living amongst them. Islam does not say to disrespect, to do anything wrong to the people of the book, to Ahlul Kitab, but we have got to keep this point in mind in our relations with the Ahlul Kitab, with the Christians, with the Jews, and know that a lot of the things that they say could be that they're actually trying to create doubts in our minds. We've got to keep that in mind, especially when it comes to the mass media and the corporations and money making, which, you know, the Muslims, their beliefs and their practices keep a lot of these people from doing what they would want to do. Islam does not allow people to make money off of certain things. Okay, like, you know, pornography, like, any type of corruption, all of those are going to be banned. Now, if you have Muslims living in a society and there's more and more Muslim, more and more people becoming Muslim, which is happening in the West, well, that means people are going to be losing money. They're going to be losing their influence and the likes of that. So they would want Muslims to go back to disbelief. All right. We should keep that in our minds. It's very important. And this is one of the reasons why in our ahadith we have that, especially for the general public, for the general population of the Muslims, we should not have too much interaction on a personal level with non-Muslims, especially those who have other religions that were once, you know, divine religions. Because the outcome of that is they're going to be creating doubts in our minds. As I said, that doesn't mean that we are going to be cutting off ties or anything like that. But there has to be a difference in the way we treat and deal with and interact with our Muslim brother and our non-Muslim brothers, or in our non-Muslim friends or even relatives. There's got to be a difference. We should not treat them all the same. But the difference isn't that we go and disrespect the non-Muslim friends or family. The difference is, well, in terms of respect, the Muslim ones get more respect. Not that the other ones are disrespected, but the Muslims should get more respect. There should be more interaction with the Muslims, less interaction with the non-Muslims, and this is only logical. So this point that is expressed here in the verse is the foundation for some of those recommendations that we have, and this is important for us to keep in mind. Now, there's other points in this verse that are going to be very interesting, but unfortunately we're out of time. We hope that inshallah in the next session we'll be able to get to some more of those points. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya sattar al-uyub, ya ghaffar al-dhunub, ya sattar al-uyub, ya ghaffar al-dhunub, ya allam al-ghuyub, ya كشاف الكروب, يا دافع الخطوب, يا جابر المعطوف, يا من هو مندوبي, فعفوك مطلوبي,
يا دافع الخطوب, يا جابر المعطوف, يا من هو مندوبي, فعفوك مطلوبي,
يا ستار العيوب, يا غفار الذنوب, يا ستار العيوب, يا غفار الذنوب, يا علام الغيوب, يا كشاف الكروب, يا دافع الخطوب, يا جابر المعطوف, يا من هو مندوبي, فعفوك مطلوبي,
يا دافع الخطوب, يا جابر المعطوف, يا من هو مندوبي, فعفوك مطلوبي,
يا